Rafer, when you're not with us here at the Takeaway and on the Takeaway Movie Date podcast.
Yes.
You are a film reviewer for Newsday.
That's right. That's the day job.
Yes. And there's a reason why they pay you the big bucks. Because you say very clever things in your reviews.
Yes, I'm very witty.
You sure are. You are. Do you remember how you opened your review for the new movie Warrior?
Yes. Yes, I do. I was saying in the, I don't remember verbatim, but I was saying in the review that this, that the movie, which is a mixed martial arts film, is, first of all, that it's almost 2.5 hours long. And that this movie really wants to be not just the Rocky of mixed martial arts movies, but actually the Moby Dick of mixed martial arts movies, because it cites the novel frequently, as you know, Kristen, throughout the film. So I feel like this is a mixed martial arts flick, but this is no Van Damme movie. This movie has very grand ambitions.
And you know what? I think you and I probably disagree.
I have a sneaking suspicion that you did not feel the same way as I did.
As far as whether or not it succeeded in actually reaching those, you know,
those,
great heights.
Those lofty heights. Yes, okay.
And considering the fact that I think we know we disagree with each other on this, I am proposing...
Yes?
A movie day throwdown! 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 Throwdown!
All right, throw all right, Kristen.
That's my all voice right. Echoing.
That's a very good echo. And I say, let's do this.
Let's do this thing.
All right.
Bring it. Bring it, Guzman.
All right.
But first, let's introduce ourselves. This is Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday. And this is Movie Date.
Round one.
All right, let's go.
All right. Let me just tell you how I feel about this.
All right.
How many rounds should we have? 6, 7?
I think we should go until one of us hits the mat.
That's what I say. Be prepared, Guzman. I hope you're ready to hit the mat.
All right.
One. These are all stock characters. As you were saying,
okay.
The movie is trying to be Rocky, and it brings back some of the characters from there. The old coach who is going back to the ring.
Yep.
It has, but it's not just Rocky stock characters. It's every kind of stock character. If there's a, you know, when you go to the tattoo parlor and you have the chart and you're like, oh, I'll take dolphin number 3
right.
And I'll take kanji Asian sign
right,
thing
right.
That says this heart with my mom's name in it.
World War II, plain girl, I'll take her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somewhere in the world, there's something just like that tattoo chart for stock characters.
Okay.
And the folks who made Warrior decided, let's just grab all of them. Everyone from drunk dad trying to make good to the estranged son who's back in the picture.
Yeah.
Right down to the smart-talking kids in the high school classroom.
Okay. All right. Look, I give you that. The film cannot escape.
I win this round. Yes.
Now wait. The film this is a sports film, a boxing film for, you know, I mean, obviously it's mixed martial arts, a different story, but it's essentially a sports film, a boxing film. There are certain clichés that are built into the genre. That said, I really felt that the film had a way of freshening up almost every cliche in there. I mean, I felt like Nick Nolte's character was, again, I think a big part of it is the acting. I personally think that the film gets by on its three main actors. Joel Edgerton, who plays the kind of main brother, who's entering this tournament, grandly called Sparta. and then Tom Hardy from Inception, who plays Tommy, who's the kind of dark horse, bitter, angry brother, Iraq veteran. And then Nick Nolte as the drunk, the now sober, but once drunk and abusive father.
You can tell he's turned around now, though, because he likes Moby Dick.
That's right, because he's listening to Moby Dick on tape throughout the entire film. So we hear these passages of Moby Dick being read out. But I do think that the film has this real working class realism to it that really like makes the characters to me fresh. And I was able to, again, the film is, you know, what would you say? Maybe 30 to 40% totally ridiculous. But I felt that much of it was really, seemed really earnest and heartfelt and believable and convincing to me.
I don't even know where to begin
with
this.
That was a long silence there.
I don't even know where to begin with the response of this.
Okay, acting. Tell me what you think of the acting.
Oh, is this round two?
This is round two.
Ding, ding, ding. Round two.
All right.
Acting. I'll give this to you. The acting was pretty good.
Yeah. I thought everybody was really good. I thought even the Italian kind of, you know, loudmouth trainer who trains Joel Edgerton's character was funny. You know, I liked pretty much everybody in the film.
But you know what?
Yes.
This brings me to round three. Ding! Pointless females without pants. Pointless females without pants. Now, I know what you're going to say. This is a sports movie. We don't really need women to be strong or smart or have lines or wear pants.
There's only one female in the whole movie.
And she never wears pants.
That's not true.
Oh, my God. Oh,
the wife?
I'm just here to support you, honey. Let's stand in the bathroom, and again, I'll have no pants on. And you know what? It doesn't have to be this way. If The Fighter taught us anything, it's that women can be interesting in a sports movie.
Yes. Okay, now I will give you this. This is not a movie for the women. As I was saying, there is essentially one female character in the film, and that is the wife of Brendan, Joel Edgerton. And her job really is just to basically say, I don't want to see you get hurt over and over and over.
I love you too much.
I don't love you. I don't want to see you get hurt.
If you're in the back of an ambulance one more time, I love you too much. Where are my pants? Okay.
But look, I'm going to say, apparently I was so riveted by everybody else's acting, I didn't even notice her lack of pants.
Oh, malarkey.
And I usually notice things like that.
Really?
Yes. Look, if a girl's not wearing pants, I'm usually going to notice that. But I did not even notice that she had on no pants because I was so gripped by the acting in this film. Okay, so.
All right, okay.
All right.
Do you want me to bring it to round four?
All right, let's go.
I can bring this to round 10, Rafer.
Let's go.
All right, okay. You know what? Here's what I have to say. Ding. All right, round four. You said you liked the working classness of it.
Yes.
I didn't see it as working classness. I saw it as that same beaten-down Irish-American narrative. And I am so tired of this narrative. We live in 2010 in America. The last time there was institutionalized or widespread cultural racism against Irish people in this country
okay.
was not in our lifetimes or our parents' lifetimes or our grandparents' lifetimes. And this oppression fantasy just leaves such a bad taste in my mouth because it smacks of nostalgia for a time when Irish Americans actually were beaten down, and this is not something anybody should be nostalgic for.
You're basically saying that they have successfully assimilated into white America and are no longer considered a minority.
That is correct.
Okay.
And I just don't like the nostalgia for it otherwise. To me, it's not something that we should be missing.
Okay. All right. Okay. It's true that Nick Nolte does dress a little bit like a wobbly. He's got like the little the sort of cap and his, you know, chinos, and he does look a little World War I in some respects. But I think I didn't, aside from the fact that everyone's named Brendan, Tommy, and Patty, I did not actually think that the Irishness of the film was really, I didn't really feel like anyone was trying to put one over on me in terms of, oh, you know, look at the plight of the Irish. I felt that it was more just, you know, it's set in this working, it's in Pittsburgh, and it's set in this working class town, and these are working class folks, and they happen to be Irish. And that didn't strike me as any kind of, you know, they could have been Italian, they could have been, you know, anything to me. I didn't feel like anybody was trying to, you know, I didn't see a lot of four-leaf clovers and leprechaun imagery and you know, pints of Guinness and kind of classic Irish stereotypical stuff, aside from the names. So I feel like you're being overly sensitive about the Irish problem.
Oh, the Irish problem.
about the troubles. I just think
that was the name of a chapter in a book we had in one of my college classes.
Right, the Irish problem. Right. So I didn't feel like that was necessarily a problem for me.
All right. Well, I'm glad you can accept this kind of problem. But
okay.
Let's take it to round five.
All right.
Ding. Okay, round five. Are you getting tired of me doing that ding
sound? No, I love it.
Oh, do you? Okay, I think it's kind of... I don't like the sound of my own voice already, but then when I'm making sound effects, I think I might like my voice less.
Never stop, Krista.
Okay, point number five. Boring training regimen. Okay, so one of my favorite things about a sports movie is getting ready for battle.
Yeah.
And whether that's the Karate Kid wax on, wax off.
Right.
Or whether it's Rocky chasing a chicken.
Right.
Whatever it is.
Punching meat in the locker.
Oh, yeah. All that great stuff.
Sure.
I love a great training regimen. And you know what they do in this movie? They just train.
Okay.
Look, now I'm running.
Yeah,
oh, look, now
okay.
I'm doing sit-ups. Oh, here, I'm taking a tire and I'm pushing it. These
yes,
are things that are so not fun to watch. This is one of the times in a sports movie where you really get to show your creativity. In this film, they just wrote, no, we can just show them doing what you do when you go to the gym.
You didn't think the Beethoven soundtrack counted as a piece of creativity on that?
No.
Okay. Look, I will agree with you that I did find the use of Beethoven. For those of you who have not seen it, the trainer is famous for using Beethoven during his training for his fighters, which is a ridiculous conceit. And I do remember thinking, geez, Moby Dick, Sparta, and Beethoven in the same mixed martial arts movies. This is a lot to throw at an MMA audience, but. I may just have to give that one to you. It was not the most exciting training sequence. I will agree with you there.
I admit it.
I have to. You've got my shoulder on the mat on that one, Krista.
Oh, nice. Yes. Shoulder to the mat.
Yes.
You know what? My shoulder was to the mat during that whole period of the film, too, because I fell asleep. Yes, I admit it. The guy sitting next to me somewhere out in the world, you're out there thinking, I hate you, because I was snoring too loud and he had to shake me awake.
Wow.
Because I was so bored.
You dozed off during Warrior.
I dozed off. And okay. I know. And the training regimen is usually my favorite part, but that's when I was like, oh, yeah. Look.
Wow.
Look, he's doing sit-ups.
All right. Okay.
All right. Let's bring it to round six. Ding. All right. All these pretensions, all these, you know, the Beethoven, the Moby Dick, all
yeah.
of this.
Yeah.
Here's point number six. This is a freaking mixed martial arts movie.
Yes. Yes.
I can't take you seriously.
Now, are you saying that just because of the sport itself, you can't take the sport seriously?
I can't take the sport seriously, and I especially can't take it seriously when you're trying to turn it into this higher, loftier thing
mm-hmm.
with the Beethoven, with the Moby Dick.
Mm-hmm.
I would have found it much more convincing if they went the route of, let's say, Fight Club with this.
Okay.
But I couldn't take it seriously as being this big, epic, whatever it was supposed to be. It's mixed martial arts, okay?
Yeah. I mean, I think the movie clearly wants to legitimize this sport, which so far has been, you know, if you see it in movies at all, it's these cheapy action, you know, it's Kickboxer with Van Damme, or it's some kind of B or C grade movie with, you know, Randy Couture or somebody in it. You know, it's a lot of, they make a lot of these cheapy movies, you know, with actual wrestling guys or actual MMA stars that are, you know, a lot of them are straight to video. And the sport itself, I think because it's still banned in several states, including New York, the sport itself is seen as a little disreputable, and the movies themselves have not helped. And this movie clearly, you know, by having these three, and I want to repeat, I feel like the three lead actors were just astoundingly good. I felt like they were all incredibly good, and their scenes together were, like, to me, so emotionally intense. Like, I found many of them, like, difficult to watch. I thought they were really good. And this film clearly wants to, you know, as the rappers would say, take it to the next level, right? It wants to legitimize the sport. I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
No, it won't.
You don't think it's going to happen? I will say two things. One, there's one problem. One is mixed martial arts just doesn't have the visual sort of poetry of boxing. You know, it's not a pretty looking sport and doesn't look that great on camera. Same with wrestling. You know, you got some guy's head between your legs and now you've got this shot where his face is kind of sticking out of your butt. Do you know what I mean? And I always kind of feel like, yeah, that just does not look that great on screen to me. Like my heart's not swelling with the, you know, with your victory. So there is that problem. But I also thought the film struck a nice balance between I thought the film showed mixed martial arts as this populist, as a real populist sport, and therefore whatever else you want to say about it, that has its own kind of legitimacy. Do you know what I mean?
There was. I can see your point.
Do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
and the Sparta.
It is the real people sport.
It is. It's a real people sport.
As it's presented in this film. Yes.
There's a brief moment where Joel Edgerton's character is at Sparta, and you know all the big guys, Koba, the giant Russian. You know, all the big guys are there, kind of circling around.
You mean
around.
The stock characters?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do, Kristen. And there's a scene where he kind of passes by the belt, the championship belt, right? It's a 2-second scene, and he looks at it and passes by it, and I almost feel like that scene was basically saying, there's the belt, but who cares? Everyone here is for the $5 million prize. Nobody here is for the MMA belt. That's meaningless. This is not a sport about prestige and pride and legend and, you know, you're not trying to go down like Ali and join the pantheon of greats. You're here for the money, and you want to see if you can beat the other guy's face in and get that money. And I felt like there's a certain validity to that, that you know, and so I appreciated that in the film.
Okay. I can see your point. I give in a little bit on this one.
Okay.
So,
all right.
I don't know. I don't know what you'd call that. I don't know if I'm down on the mat. I'm against the ropes, maybe.
You're against the ropes. I got you on the ropes. All right, good.
All right. Okay. All right. So, point seven.
Okay.
Round seven.
All right.
Ding.
We're
all
still
right.
going.
Yeah. This will be the last one, I promise.
Okay.
Because this podcast is getting real long. Our poor listeners.
Longer than, it's almost as long as Warrior at this point.
Which brings me to my point. Way too long.
Too long.
For no reason. I don't know why it had to be 2.5 hours long. Why?
I am going to say it had to be 2 hours long because, to me, the best part of the movie is not the fight scene at the end, which I think is almost about 40 minutes long.
Oh, God.
And I found effective and good. To me, the most effective, but the best parts of the film are everything that takes place before, and that's the interaction with the sons and the father. And I found that those scenes, the scene where Joel Edgerton, again, as you do in movies like this, where you're losing your house, and that's why he has to enter the tournament. But that scene where he goes to the bank and talks to the banker,
that's a beautifully
played scene, and that scene goes on for a really long time, but it needs to be that long. You know, the scene at the strip bar where he's fighting and, you know, sort of he has this hard-fought victory at the strip bar to make a couple $100 to make ends meet.
We should make a point. He is not beating up a stripper.
He's not beating up a stripper. No, that's correct. You know, it's one of these parking lot cage fights. I thought that was a really good scene. All those scenes I feel like needed to be as long as they were. It's almost, in my mind, the fight scenes that could have been shortened. But I do think there was some reason for the movie to be that long.
All right. Well, what I have to say is I'm glad I was awake for the parts that you mentioned.
Okay.
I was dozing in and out during the fight scenes.
Faint praise. All right.
I don't know who won this match. But I have to say, good fight.
Good fight. Good fight. Honorable.
Honorable. Fair.
Clean above the belt.
Does any of us get a belt now?
I don't know. I'm wearing a belt. Did you know that you can follow Movie Date on Twitter and Facebook? You can also give us feedback on the podcast and tell us what movies you want us to see next.
Log on to themoviedate.org to find out more. And thanks so much for listening.